If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFGuide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFGuide.com
to get our monthly income trades. Click on ETF Combos, and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFGuide.com, and we'll show you how.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I'll be your financial DJ for the next hour. We'll be talking the birds and the bees of successful investing. That begins with a solid foundation of investments built on low-cost index funds and index ETFs. That's where you begin. That's where you start. That's your priority. If you'd like to join us to talk about your own investment portfolio, the chaos in the financial markets, the churning and the burning, or anything else financial on your mind, give us a call, 877-711-5611. Give us your first name along with your city. We will get to you. If you have a particular ticker symbol you want to talk about, a specific stock, ETF, mutual fund, give us that ticker symbol and we'll dissect it together. Coming up on today's broadcast, gold prices are cratering. Gold prices are cratering. And all these flunkouts, these gold experts that told you higher prices were coming, are wrong and have been wrong since mid-2011. So why is the safe haven trade, gold, not so safe? We'll get into that. We also want to talk about bond prices, which have been also cratering. Is the new normal, is this becoming the new normal? We will also talk about whatever's on your mind. We'll get into some trivia. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter, my handle at indexshow. We're also on Facebook. You can like us there. If you ever miss our regular radio broadcast, you can pick up our free podcast available at itunes.com. Well, let's get right to it. Gold prices falling below $1,300 an ounce, hitting their lowest level in more than 2 years. And really what has been going on here with gold, one of the things that's been going on is the fact that Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve have signaled the fact that they are poised to put an end to quantitative easing. In other words, they're going to slow down or completely eliminate these massive multi-billion dollar monthly purchases of U.S. treasuries. They've been buying up $85 billion a month worth of U.S. treasuries, and the Fed has now signaled that the time has come to end this program, and of course, gold prices did not like that. In fact, going back to mid-2011, gold prices have been in a bear market. Now, on a year-to-date basis, the Spider Gold Shares, ticker symbol GLD, which tracks the ounce price of gold, is down 22.8%. So that's the official definition of a bear market. Whenever there is a peak to trough decline of more than 20%, that is the definition of a bear market. And really, if you look back to August of 2011, going back 2 years, almost 2 years, the price of gold bullion is down 32.26%. Pretty big hit. Now, gold bugs could dream up 1,000 different reasons why gold prices should be skyrocketing. You know, the demand discrepancies between physical and paper gold. You know, hoarding of gold by central banks. You know, excessive money printing. You know, all fiat currencies will eventually be worth nothing. And all of those thousands of different reasons why gold prices should be skyrocketing still doesn't change the fact that gold prices are in a bear market. And anyone that has bought and held gold since mid-2011 is sitting on losses. And this is what happens when you make investment decisions based upon hunches, when you make investment decisions based upon forecasts from gold experts, when you make investment decisions based upon personal biases and what you think an asset should be worth versus real-life price action. We never, ever ignore real-life price action because that's the bottom line. And I have told you on this program over and over again, this is one of the major investment themes that's unfolding here in 2013, the great gold meltdown of 2013. We've been talking about this on this very broadcast, and we're going to talk about some trades related to gold that have actually made money, unlike what the gold experts have been telling you. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Jump in anytime. Want to do some trivia question on today's broadcast, give you some things to think about. We always talk about the importance of keeping investment costs low. So here's the trivia question. Do you know the right answer? What is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees? Does anybody know the answer to that question? Let me repeat that. What is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees? Is it A, what other mutual funds in the same category charge? Is it B, what index funds in the same category charge? Is it C, what hedge funds in the same category charge? Or is it D, who cares? So what is the answer to today's trivia question? Again, what is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees? You've got four choices. You got a 25% chance of getting this answer right. So if you know the answer, 877-711-5611, give us your first name along with your city. The caller with the right answer, the listener with the right answer to this very important question will get a signed copy of my book, Gents with No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street. And I am inclined to read from you excerpts from my book, Gents with No Sense, just to humor you, because there's so much nonsense being said on the street these days, not just about what we covered earlier, the gold market, but just in general. You know, the fact that stocks are poised for a rebound, the fact that this sell-off is just a minor flesh wound, blah, 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 blah. If there's one thing I love doing on this weekly broadcast, it's assassinating, it's annihilating, it's slaughtering consensus views about investing. I personally enjoy that, but I don't enjoy it more than making you money. That's priority number one on this broadcast, is making you money and giving you ideas on how to prepare your investment portfolio for what lies ahead. Because a market correction, as we have had over the past week, will have the tendency of highlighting, uncovering, revealing flaws in investment portfolio design. That's what a market correction will do. It will highlight flaws in your portfolio's design, weaknesses. And so the idea behind what we do on this broadcast, one of them, is to help you shore up those weaknesses so that you don't get slaughtered. And in the process, even if there is a market decline, as we've had, to try to make some money in the process. 877-711-5611. There's a ton of money to be made, by the way. Now let's take a look at some of the major asset classes and the indexes or ETFs that follow them. Let's start with the S&P 500, which follows 500 large company stocks here in the United States. You've got companies like Coca-Cola, IBM, Home Depot, and the like that are all members of the S&P 500, ticker symbol SPY, which follows that, ahead by 11.7%. We're still sitting on some pretty healthy gains. Taking a look at international stocks, up 1.6%. Emerging market stocks, down 15%. We'll get into some of the other areas when we return. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle, at indexshow. So gold prices are cratering. The safe haven trade is not so safe after all. Gold prices are down 22% year to date. That is a bear market, and they continue to sink. And meanwhile, all these flunk outs, these gold experts keep telling you higher prices are ahead. You know, they invent 1,000 different reasons why gold prices should be skyrocketing, and people like sheep being led to the slaughter listen to these bozos. They talk about discrepancies in physical demand between physical and paper gold. They talk about hoarding of gold by central banks. They talk about excessive money printing. Yeah, we know all that. I mean, that's nothing new. But the simple fact is, gold prices are down. Gold prices are in a bear market. And anyone that's bought and held gold since mid-2011 based upon these premises or any others has lost money. Those are the facts, people. So no matter the fact that we think we have suppositions, we believe that currencies will eventually be worth, fiat currencies will eventually be worth nothing, we still have to obey prices. And when you disobey prices, when you violate trends, when you ignore technicals, you set yourself up for disaster. You set yourself up for a hurting. And so this is one of the reasons that we try to point these things out to you so you can avoid getting hurt like the masses. Now, one of the things that I've talked about on this broadcast over the past month or so has been the discrepancy, has been the fall of gold miners, which have actually performed worse than gold itself. And this particular sector has been horrific. And if you have shorted gold miners, you've made some money. Ticker symbol DUST, which is the direction, 3X, that's an inverse daily gold miners bear ETF. And DUST, if you're sitting down in your chair, you didn't think an ETF could go up this much. On a year-to-date basis, DUST, which aims triple daily opposite or inverse performance of gold mining stocks, is up 290%. Over the past 3 months alone, ticker symbol DUST is up 150%. So that's what's going on. That's the trend. That's called making money. And this is one of the trades that I wrote about at ETFguide.com, going all the way back to February. I do the weekly picks at ETFguide.com. It's a subscription-based service, and I've been tracking it since the beginning of the year. 78% of the weekly picks at ETF Guide have resulted in gains, with the biggest ETF winner being a 520% gain. And that gain was on the gold miners put options for June, and the strike price was 40s. We told readers about that, and I've got it timestamped in early February. So going all the way back to February, those GDX put options, June 40s, we told people to buy them. They increased in value by 525%. So I don't believe in dumb luck, and neither should you. The 78% winning percentage doesn't happen by accident. And what I do in the weekly picks, that's what I do. I try to find the ideas that will make you money. I uncover strategies that that hopefully help you to get ahead. So that's the idea. You can check that out at etfguide.com. I also write daily articles over there. But again, this is one of the biggest and most important investment themes occurring in 2013, the great gold meltdown. And unfortunately, too many people are getting hurt by this. They're sitting on physical gold, whether that's coins or bars, and they're losing a boatload of money. Taking a look at some of the other asset classes, we already talked about the performance of U.S. stocks, which despite the recent pullback, are ahead on a year-to-date basis by almost 12%. That's the S&P 500. Taking a look at some of the other areas, stocks throughout the world, we already covered developed market stocks in countries like Japan and the United Kingdom, ahead as a group just by 1.5% and badly lagging the U.S. And really, really performing horribly are emerging market stocks. Here's another theme that you can write down and that you can bank on is the declining value of emerging market stocks. VWO, which is the Vanguard FTSE Emerging Market ETF, is tracks a basket of emerging market stocks from countries like China and Brazil and Russia, down 15% since the beginning of the year. And that looks like an interesting area. Those of you that are bears, that you might want to short. I'll give you a couple ticker symbols for shorting emerging market stocks in a little bit. We already covered gold. How about the U.S. bond market, ticker symbol BND, down 4.3% since the beginning of the year. And everyone's talking about 10-year U.S. treasuries, which have spiked. The yields on those 10-year treasuries have spiked. They're now in the vicinity of, 2.25%, and for a very long time they were under 2%, but now we've seen a trend change in the direction of yields. Yields are rising, bond prices are falling, and there too, a lot of people are getting slaughtered because they overweighted their investment portfolios in long-term bonds, long-term U.S. treasuries, which are just getting slammed. Remember, the longer the maturity for your bonds, the more sensitive those bonds are to changes in interest rates. So that's why if you compare the value of long-term bonds versus short-term bonds, you will note, you will observe, you will see that the long-term bonds have fallen faster and harder than the short-term bonds. And that's what happens because of the fact that those longer-term bonds are more sensitive to changes in interest rates, and interest rates have been definitely changing. They've been going up, and thus the inverse relationship. Bonds, all you got to remember, when yields go up, bond prices go down, and vice versa. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. What do you want to talk about? Any gold bugs listening to the broadcast? Are you going to call this show? Are you going to preach to me about why gold should be worth $10,000 an ounce? Let's do it. Let's have a conversation. I want to hear your defense of why gold prices are down 32% since mid-2011. Or maybe you want to talk about the latest sell-off in U.S. stocks, really a reaction by the markets to the fact that the Federal Reserve has indicated that it's poised to end its quantitative easing, or as many referred to, Q-ternity, because of the fact that we had round one, that ended, then we had round two, that ended, then we had round three, that ended, and we had this seemingly never-ending story of quantitative easing. Well, you just heard from the Fed, you just heard from Ben Bernanke, the fact that they are poised to end this by year end. And also, we'll see what happens if they add something else behind this that no one knows, the financial markets are unaware of. That's always a possibility, isn't it? So they end QE, but maybe they have something else in their bag of tricks that the market doesn't know about. We shall see. 877 711 5611 is the number. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. We're going to get into some of your emails and more right here on the Index Investing Show. Be here or be nowhere.
Are you really satisfied with the depressed interest rates coming from bank CDs and savings accounts? What if, for a change, you could generate high monthly income on all that money? The model portfolios at ETFGuide.com can show you how. Most people are leaving good money behind because they're completely unaware of all the income their investments could be generating. The Income Mix Portfolio at ETFGuide.com will show you how to squeeze more money from your investments. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies could be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 a month. Go to ETFGuide.com to get our monthly income trades. Click on ETF Combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow. Isn't it time you started squeezing more money from your investments? Go to ETFGuide.com, click on the ETF Combos, and we'll show you how. You'll get monthly income strategies using options and ETFs only at ETFGuide.com. To receive your special discount, use promo code BIG50.
Have I asked a question that's too difficult for the intellect of this audience? I don't think so. The trivia question is this. What is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees? Is it A, what other mutual funds in the same category charge? Is it B, what index funds in the same category charge? Is it C, what hedge funds in the same category charge? Or is it D, who cares? Do you know the answer to that trivia question? You have a 1 in 4 chance of getting it right. It's a very important question. If you own mutual funds and you don't know the answer to this question, well, then you're deluding yourself. We need to have you wake up and smell the coffee and know what the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees is. You should be doing this. So 877-711-5611 is the number. Give us your first name along with your city, and if you have the right answer to this question, you'll get a signed copy of my book, Gents with No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street, Its Customers, Financial Regulators, and the Media. Now, in that book, which was one of my personal delights, writing it and authoring it was an absolute blast. I wrote about something called the smart money. People within the media make regular references to smart money or the smart money. They say the smart money's buying or selling this or that. So it's with profound curiosity that we make the following inquiry. Just who is the smart money and what are they doing? So let me read an excerpt from Gents with No Sense to explain to you what the smart money is. In the late 1960s, the smart money was accumulating Nifty 50 stocks. After several failed attempts at achieving riches and glory, the 1973-1974 bear market thoroughly decimated the Nifty 50 concept. A few short years later of hibernation, the smart money began piling into gold. And just as gold was touching all-time highs in the early 1980s, the smart money was right there buying. Then, for the next two decades, gold was proven to be dead money for the smart money. Now, just as it was believed that the smart money had forever vanished in almost the same way as the saber-toothed tiger, the smart money miraculously reappeared. During the mid to late 80s, the smart money had turned to insider trading. After an abrupt but profitable orgy, the smart money went to jail. But all was not lost. The 1990s ushered in a new era unlike any other for the smart money. It hit the jackpot by investing in profitless technology stocks with sky-high valuations. Venture capital and IPOs were the rage. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the 2000 to 2002 bear market ate the smart money, taking roughly $5 trillion with it. After a brief hiatus from going broke, the smart money decided that it was time to load up on real estate. Instead of learning from its previous misses in Nifty 50 stocks, gold, insider trading, and technology stocks, the smart money, true to its history of stubbornness, refused to call it quits. Beginning somewhere around 2003, the smart money devoured real estate. God isn't making any more land, was the general consensus. Shortly thereafter, real estate devoured the smart money, leaving behind lots of vacant homes, condominiums, and office buildings. But that's not all. The really, really smart money was simultaneously investing in credit swaps, collateralized mortgage debt, and other complicated financial paraphernalia. Why? Because it was a smart thing to do. And the experiment worked well until everything began to unwind like a yo-yo. And predictably, the smart money was right there to unwind with it. So as you see, the historical track record for the smart money, it's very difficult to express in numbers. So let me try to do it with words. The historical track record for the smart money falls somewhere between asinine and dumb. And that is an excerpt from my book, Gents With No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street, a delightful read, 4.5-star rated at Amazon.com. Pick up a copy. Let's go to the phone lines. Again, the trivia question is, what is the current or what is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees? Let's go to Scott in Denver. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
So what is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees, Scott?
Answer B, the index fund for that category.
Look at that. Ding, 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 ding. We've got a winner. Scott is 1-for-1. He's batting 1,000%. And how did you know the answer to that question?
Because I've learned the hard way a few times.
And now, instead of like the masses, you're not perfecting your mistakes, Scott. You've learned from your mistakes, and that is a step in the right direction.
Well, and I've also learned to start trusting my instincts. When it seems like things have gotten crazy, like you just mentioned the real estate, I was wondering, where are all the people coming from that are buying all of this real estate? You know, and why are the prices going so high? And it almost takes the average American, you know, to think that you're pricing yourself, you know, right out of being able to even afford it. So when things start to get a little crazy, I just start to wonder, am I the only one that's you know, this cheap or this stupid to not be grabbing onto it? And yeah. I've learned to trust my instincts because when things get that crazy or panic, it just seems that time to step back and just watch what happens.
Absolutely. That's true. And it's funny, too, how the more things change, the more they stay the same. And the fact is that you look at real estate prices, although they still haven't fully recovered from pre-crisis levels, they still are at very frothy levels in certain markets and have gotten to levels way too fast for being in a comfortable zone.
Yes. For me, it's kind of simplistic. I keep looking at, when you talk about gold and the overall economy, I know gold goes up in gradual increments or comes down in, you know, very quick steps or drop-off like a cliff. So if I look at that and I look at the dollar and the banks aren't paying anything, the only place I've ever seen that put my money that won't go out of existence is stock mutual funds.
Right. Well, it's a very difficult climate for income investors. Stay on the line, Scott. We're going to get your information so we can send you a signed copy of my book, Gents With No Sense. Thank you for that call. It is a very difficult climate for income investors, and especially what really perturbs me, what really irks me, is these retirees that were coaxed into buying gold, that were coaxed into buying silver, that were coaxed into buying precious metals, physical metals. And now what happens or what has happened is they've paid these astronomical prices for physical gold and for silver, and they're sitting on all of that. And number one, not only are they losing money, because since 2011, prices for gold are down over 30%, but number two, while they're waiting for their prices to rebound, they're not getting paid any income. They're not getting paid any dividends, because remember, gold doesn't pay any income. It pays no dividends. And so the only way you make money is if you're able to buy it at the right price and sell it for a profit. So all the more reason to make sure that your investment portfolio is not over-allocated or overexposed to any one asset class, because when prices fall, it can get you in trouble. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to get into some of your emails, and we're also going to talk about why the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees is index funds and index ETFs. Be here or be nowhere. So we did get a trivia question winner, and if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611. Ron at indexshow.com is my email address. This is the final segment. You want to talk about a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF, investment theme, we can do that. The Great Gold Meltdown of 2013, collapsing bond prices, sinking stocks, well, they've been sinking here over the past week or two. They're still up on a year-to-date basis. S&P 500 ahead by just over 11%. But will it stick? So the trivia question was, what is the correct yardstick for measuring mutual fund fees? The correct answer was B, that index funds in the same category, what they charge. That's the correct measure for measuring mutual fund fees. And that is the correct standard for measuring mutual fund fees. It is always passive or index funds in the same category. That's how you compare. Now, mutual funds with fees that are higher than corresponding index funds are accurately labeled expensive, whereas those mutual funds with lower fees than index funds or index ETFs are not. We never ever compare mutual fund fees to their peers or to their category averages like the big mutual fund analysts like Morningstar and others do. We never ever ever do that. Why? Because it gives us a warped yardstick of true cost. Think about it this way. Here's another example, by the way, of how we're annihilating consensus views, because this is not a consensus view. Think about it this way. Although XYZ small cap fund may have lower fees versus other small cap funds that it competes against, the fees for XYZ small cap fund, and this is the key, may still be substantially higher versus corresponding small cap index funds, which on that basis would make XYZ small cap fund an expensive choice. But you see, we wouldn't know that if we were only paying attention to mutual fund fees using skewed or warped peer group comparisons, versus paying attention to the bottom line, which is the ultimate yardstick for measuring fees. That's index funds and index ETFs versus everything. And by that high standard, ladies and gentlemen, more than 95% of mutual funds fail. So there you have it. 877-711-5611. Tell your financial advisor that. Tell your mutual fund analyst that. Tell them to put that in their pipe and to smoke it and to get back to us. Tell us what they think about that. We talked on last week's broadcast about target date retirement funds, and I provided some background about how these funds, usually they have a date attached to them with a specific year. For example, if you're planning to retire, let's say in the year 2020, the typical recommendation, if you have a 401k plan, would be to just invest all of your money in a 2020 mutual fund, which will allocate its money automatically across stocks, bonds, and cash in a manner that will get you to that retirement destination of the year 2020 in a safe manner. But as I told you, and as history has proven, these target date retirement funds have fallen short from what they're promising. And we saw that in 2008 and 2009 during the last financial crisis. The target date funds that had a very short window, like for example the 2010 funds, were a lot more risky than a lot of people had thought. And so not much has changed. You fast forward 5 years later, not much has changed with target date retirement funds. There has not been any significant change or improvement in the way these products are designed, yet they're being sold to the public as a panacea to their retirement woes. And so one of the links that I provided on our Twitter account, at Index Show, and also on Facebook, is a excellent article talking about John Bogle and how even he, the founder of the Vanguard Group, is questioning the value of target date retirement funds. So I've got a link to that. And it's I'm glad to not be alone in company. It's nice to see that John Bogle also is taking a pessimistic or questionable view towards target date retirement funds. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. We talked earlier about the declining emerging market stocks, which are down, ticker symbol VWO, which tracks that. That's an ETF that follows emerging market stocks, down 15%. One of the weekly picks that I gave back in May was on shorting or going inverse emerging market stocks. It was a short trade. It was a strategic trade to capitalize on the downtrend in emerging market stocks. How's that worked out? Well, I'm going to give you two ticker symbols that I think still have some more life in them and have more upside as this theme of lower emerging market stock values continues to take hold. Ticker symbol EEV, which aims for double inverse opposite performance to emerging market stocks, EEV, and ticker symbol EDZ, which does the same thing except with triple leverage or 300% leverage. So EDZ is a lot more aggressive, EEV less aggressive, but they are both, the idea is to capitalize on when emerging market stocks fall, these funds are designed to increase in value with leverage, and they have been. Ticker symbol EDZ over the past 3 months is ahead by over 31.5%. Ticker symbol EEV, Edward Victor, is ahead by over 20% over the past 3 months. That is the trend. That is what prices are doing. Don't try to catch a falling knife with emerging market stocks. We still don't have a bottom. Part of the issue here is falling or declining commodity prices, and that's beginning to filter in to emerging market stocks, which are being hurt by this very negative trend of lower commodity prices. We've already seen what's happened to gold mining stocks, which have been bludgeoned by lower precious metal prices. But it's not just lower precious metal prices. It's pretty much all commodities are down, from coffee to textiles, to industrial metals, the energy segment, the oil, natural gas, and so forth. As a whole, commodities are in negative territory. Let's get into some of your emails. Dear Ron, I own the iShares Global Tips ETF, ticker symbol GTIP, and I'm concerned about why it's going down. Signed, Jacob in San Jose, California. Well, GTIP, that's the ticker symbol, is down on a year-to-date basis, down 10%. And this is actually a pretty good fund for those of you that want core exposure to a global portfolio of TIPS, or Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. Not just TIPS from the U.S., but governments around the world. But here's the deal, Jacob. When interest rates rise, bond values fall. And TIPS are bonds. And so that's what's been going on. Now, TIPS will protect you when there is higher inflation, but they will not protect you when interest rates rise as they have. So that's a very important distinction. Dear Ron, I got another question here from another listener. I don't have his name, but he wanted to ask about General Mills, ticker symbol GIS, and what I think about that particular stock. General Mills is the maker of food products like Cheerios, Wheaties, Betty Crocker, so forth. It's doing well. It's up 17% year to date. It's part of the consumer staples ETF, XLP, and that particular sector up 13% and still a very good performer, very defensive in these unstable times. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.